You are listening to a Bible talk recorded at the 2012 Western Christadelphian Bible School at Manuka. This is the second class in a series given by Brother Marco Dondero on the subject, The Prism of Judgment and Wisdom's Rainbow. This class is titled, Wisdom, the Light of Exposure and Revealing.
So I'm going to start it with Lavelle. And so you're just going to cut a piece of the string, make sure it has all the colors of the rainbow in it, and pick out one of the prisms. There's small ones and large ones, and then pass it on to the next person. So you can start that right now before we start our class, okay? And then there's a little hole in the prism, so you can string that and tie it around your neck. It's just a little reminder, you know? While you're doing that, because what I'm going to do right now, I'm going to give, for the sake of the tapes, okay, this is the second day. We'll wait for the bell here. On the class of judgment, wisdom, the light of exposure and revealing. And so while you're working on what you're working on, and again, for the sake of the people that are listening to a tape, they're threading a rainbow-colored thread through a prism-shaped crystal, but not really crystal, it's plastic. But we can pretend it's crystal. Yes, it's plastic, I'm sorry. What I want to do is I want to just review. I did a little rehashing of the types of judgments, and I'm going to just review it verbally for the sake of the people that are not going to see it visually. And for the people here that would like to write it down and kind of on a visual level and have the boom, 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 you know, I'm going to put it on a chart over here and you can at your own leisure write the things down. Again, these are not definitive connections. There may be more correct ones scripturally. Okay, these are ones that I've, you know, gathered and just tried to understand, okay? So just again, a review, the colors of the rainbow and the types of judgment. We have red, flesh, blood, fire, sacrifice, purging, sin, spiritual fire, judgment of change. Okay, judgment of change. 2 Peter, I forgot the chapter. I didn't put the chapter down. It's verses 3 through 9. Let me get the chapter real quick here. Chapter 3, verses 3 through 9. The next color, orange, bronze, body, the body through which sin operates. Okay? Political, national, judgments of nations and people. Okay, so again, that's the second type of judgment. Yellow, okay, we said this was judging by outward appearances, bribes, influence, power. It's also domination, cowardness, connected with wealth and gold. If we look at James chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, I call these human judgments. This is how we judge each other. There's the color green, okay, and the green here, the Hebrew words are just herb and trees primarily, but it's all connected with the earth. Natural judgments, things like tsunamis, earthquakes, plagues, famine, all controlled by God, all done with a purpose and a reason in its own season. The consequences sometimes are natural consequences that occur either based on human behavior or simply based on the natural movements of the earth. But again, it's not random. They are specifically activated and designed by God. They can be stopped. And the example here is Jonah and Nineveh. When you think about what might have been the judgment upon Nineveh had they not repented, what form was it going to take? Okay? Because it can take many forms. It's the sword, which is usually a nation coming up against another nation. It can be famine. It can be earthquake. It can be fire and brimstone, as it was in Sodom and Gomorrah. The form in which it can take can be many, multiple forms. But God is in control of every one of those forms and can stop them or make it happen or let it happen or continue it to happen or cause it to happen. Okay, the next color, blue, water, life, necessary, salvation. Angels are involved in these judgments. It's the judgments of people for the purpose of salvation. Now, one thing that's important, all the judgments of God are always with the purpose of bringing people back to Him. It's always with that purpose. Okay? Whether it's the people that are being judged themselves or those who survive the judgment. It's designed to bring them back to Him. Then we had the color purple or indigo, death, judgment of death, the showing of mercy, all the scriptures being fulfilled, the will of the Father to bring, it grieved Him, okay, to bring His Son to death. And the next color, purple, violet, conquered sin, it's the judgment of resurrection. And again, what was the breastplate, all of the fabric of the temple, the tent in the wilderness, I think were all filled with the colors of this rainbow. We know the judgment of the rainbow was a covenant of peace and a promise by God that the world would not be flooded again. Our own just natural reaction to the rainbow is one of joy, one of expression of delight, wonderment. And the people themselves, when they gave freely, willingly, from their heart, gave all the colors of the rainbow for the making, for the purpose of the establishment of the temple, or the building of the temple in the wilderness. Okay, so that's just by way of review. And I'll put that information up on an easel, on a piece of paper, so people can write that down. Okay, wisdom. Let's look for a moment. As I said, wisdom, one of the purposes of wisdom is to expose and to reveal. It was the wisdom of God that the commandments, that the law was meant to expose us to sin. In fact, sin, as the Apostle Paul said, took opportunity in the law. So let's look at Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 13. And it's one of the daily readings for today. But chapter 7, verses 7 through 13. What then shall we say? That the law is sin? By no means. Yet if it had not been for the law, I should not have known sin. I should not have known what it is to covet if the law had not said, you shall not covet. But sin, finding opportunity in the commandment, wrought in me all kinds of covetousness. Apart from the law, sin lies dead. In other words, it doesn't exist. Because it was the law in the garden that God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the midst of the garden, neither in the day that you eat it, you shall die. That was the law. Had that law not existed, there would be no sin. But because that law existed, sin took opportunity in that law. I was once alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. The very commandment which promised life proved to be death to me, for sin, finding opportunity in the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. So The law is holy, the commandment is holy and just and good. Did that which is good then bring death to me? By no means. It was sin, working death in me through what is good, in order that sin might be shown to be sin. And through the commandment might become sinful beyond measure. Wisdom does the same thing. Here's what I think is an amazing thing. And it amazed the Lord Jesus Christ as well. Why didn't the man ask God for wisdom? Why didn't he ask him for knowledge and instruction in good and evil? It was just as amazing to the Lord Jesus Christ that his believers, his disciples, didn't ask his Father for things, for understanding. You haven't asked. Ask him. A very, very simple thing. And look at the delight, and we'll look at it in a little bit, but at the delight of God when Solomon asked for wisdom. So for a moment here, let's look at Romans chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all men sinned. Sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, but sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sins were not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the effect of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Then, as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one man's act of righteousness leads to acquittal and life for all men. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Okay, that's the wisdom of God. How do you balance the condemnation that passed on to all men through one man's transgression? You do so by allowing individuals to take on and believe the Lord Jesus Christ and receive grace unto eternal life. That's the wisdom of the Father. Look for a moment at Luke chapter 2. We know wisdom is one of the things that is spoken of to individuals in the Scriptures. Luke chapter 2, verses 29 through 35, the announcement of the angel. And this is the part of the scripture where the man Simeon was waiting for the salvation and was praying to see the salvation of the Lord before he died. And when he does, he speaks this through the power of the Spirit and in the Spirit, he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to thy people Israel. And his father and mother marveled at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is spoken against. A sword will pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And so one of the things that the Lord Jesus was purposed to do was to open up and reveal the hearts of individuals, to let them see who they really are, and to give them the opportunity to change, to repent. In that question that Dolores asked yesterday, the one thing that Jesus responded to the people who were asking about the Galileans and the Tower of Siloam was, you're looking in the wrong place. He says, unless you repent, you also will likewise perish. And so the focus was on the people and their behavior, their personal behavior and response, not what they were concerned about was happening to other people. And that's why I said, I'm not going down that route. We've already done that. That's why I'm saying we need to start a different conversation about judgment, which allows us to actually grow in the things of what I call the spirit of the rainbow, the spirit of wisdom, and the things that really matter that causes change in us. Okay? And if we focus on that, on me, we won't have as many problems as we do. Lamentations chapter 2, verse 14. Your prophets have seen for you false and deceptive visions. They have not exposed your iniquity to restore your fortunes, but has seen for you oracles, false and misleading. So the purpose of the prophets was to expose them, to reveal the iniquity, to let them see their faults so that they might change. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 through 13. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, that no one fall by the same sort of disobedience. And it's a reference to the disobedience of the children of Israel. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and spirit, of joints and marrows, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him, no creature is hidden, but all are open and laid bare to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Talk about exposure. Completely, utterly naked, not just on the outside, but absolutely through and through to the inside core of your very soul and being. You are opened. It's almost as if the Lord has taken you and flayed you open like they did in the sacrifice of the birds and exposed you. That's what he's doing right now. And he's hoping that you're going to see it. So you see yourself and that will motivate you to change. Take a look for a moment at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we're going to start, we're going to do chapter 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 17. No. Okay, scratch that. Rewind. Play that back over again. First chapter, verse 17. There we go. Isn't that wonderful technology? You can just rewind it and replay it. Okay. What's that?
It's there forever.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Jim. I've been exposed. Okay. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will thwart. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly that we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demanded signs and Greeks seek wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. And now we're going to go to 26 through 31. For consider your call, brethren. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom, our righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast of the Lord. I want to read this one more time. No human being might boast in the presence of God. That's wisdom. That wisdom, as it shines, as I picture it, okay. And this is why I've given you this little prism with the rainbow. The light of the Father shines through the prism, which is wisdom. His wisdom, by the way, and we're going to look at that in a minute, creating a color spectrum of judgments which come from God. We're going to look at what those judgments look like. Okay? You have the Father, the light. Christ is the prism through which is created a prism of judgments. We're going to look at what those look like. But let's look at wisdom. I think wisdom is one of the most fascinating things in the world, absolutely, and one of the most wonderful things that God created. Well, I don't know if created is the right term. I think he simply revealed it, what was inside him. But the way the Proverbs speak of it, it's as if it was something that he made. Well, it is, of course. He is who he is, always there. So anything that comes from him is, we can consider it was made, okay? But it's a part of him. So chapter 8 of Proverbs. Does not wisdom call, does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, in the paths she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, my cry to the sons of men. O simple ones, learn prudence. O foolish men, pay attention. Hear, for I will speak noble things. From my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There's nothing twisted or crooked in them. They're all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell in prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is the hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign. Rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule. Nobles govern the earth. I love those who love me. Those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me. Enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold. My yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, endowing the wealth those with wealth those who love me, and filling their treasuries. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first day of the dust of the world, when he established the heavens, I was there, when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits, so that the waters might not transgress his command. When he marked out the foundation of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the sons of men. And now, my sons, listen to me. Happy are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Happy is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For he who finds me finds life and attains favor from the Lord. But he who misses me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up her seven pillars. Insight, understanding, the fear of the Lord, instruction, righteousness, justice, equity. These are the pillars of wisdom. Take a look at James chapter 3. Seven more pillars he describes for wisdom. What does that say up there? Oh, we're good. Chapter 3 of James, and it's verse 17. First of all, let's start at 13, because who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This wisdom is not such as comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. And there are seven things there. Sounds like Jesus, doesn't it? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. I think we read this the other day. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, virtue with knowledge, knowledge with self-control, self-control with steadfastness, steadfastness with godliness, godliness with brotherly affection with love. Another set of seven things. All dealing with what should be inside of us and what should be changing us, number one. What should be bringing out the delight and the joy in the wisdom of God, in the way that He's done things. We should be joyful at the way He's done things. You know the rainbow, we see half of it, right? You know that it's a full circle. Has anyone ever seen the full circle rainbow? Yeah, I've seen that. And it's amazing. Now, think about this in terms of on a three-dimensional, four-dimensional. Not is it just a circle, but it's a sphere, which encompasses everything that God has done. And there's a reason why so many things in the scriptures are seven. It's not a magic number. It's not just, you know, and I'm not in numerology at all here, but it's certainly revealing of the way the Father has ordered things in such a way that we can see the fabric. We can see the rainbow being woven through the life of Israel, the lives of our ecclesias, in such a way that it's creating this whole sphere of the things that belong to God. We call it godliness. Here's the amazing thing. Let's take a look at James again, chapter 1. And we'll start verse 5. We'll just read that one right there. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all men generously and without reproaching, and it will be given him. How many believe that? How many have asked for wisdom? A few? Okay. What did you receive? Okay. What kind? What were you taught? Okay. 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 All right. Who else said they asked for wisdom? Kara, you raised your hand. What did you get? And this was wisdom for a particular situation or issue. Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. Okay. Julissa, do you want to comment about what you asked for? And what reason? Okay. 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 So I think part of the effect of asking God for wisdom is now your eyes start seeing things differently. Okay? Your ears start hearing things differently because you've asked Him for something. And your mind and your body is ready to hear and to see and to listen. Excuse me. Chapter 3, verse 13 of James. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good life, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. So that wisdom now is supposed to somehow reflect itself in your life. Excuse me. Well, we know one individual that asked for wisdom. Solomon, right? And he did it because he didn't feel confident in how to rule the people. And sure, he spoke with his father and understood how hard it was to rule a nation. And he asked for wisdom to rule the people. And as I said, the father was delighted, absolutely thrilled that he asked for this instead of what usually people ask for, which is gold and riches and, you know, this and that, okay? And so he gave him wisdom. Now, we come across the example of that wisdom. Okay, now, we're familiar with that story, right? Right? Two women, babies, one rolls on the other baby. You know, the mother whose baby is dead steals the other woman's baby, and the real mother says, you know, you've stolen my baby, I recognize my baby, it's not, this is, the one who's dead is not mine. So they bring it before Solomon. See, wisdom chooses life. So when Solomon said, well, we're going to cut the baby in half, we'll give half to you and half to her, that way both of you will be happy and satisfied, okay? He knew that because wisdom is connected to life and to the Father who's connected to life, that the one who would be willing to let go of her child so that the child would not be killed would be its mother. Now, and so in that case, a life was, excuse me, preserved. And the mother who was not the true mother could care less. In fact, she probably would have loved to have been, have had the child killed because, well, then it's even Stephen. Okay. And that's not the way of wisdom, is it? The way of wisdom is peace and life. Now, here's my question. Should we ask for wisdom? And I say yes. Should we expect an answer? I say yes. Where do I go for the answer? You read his word. The way the Father speaks to us without a direct communication, of which we would, many of us would probably not be able to endure, is through his word, through his Son. The answer will come. And the reason the answer will come is because you now have been connected in that thread of life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And your answer will find its connection in the Word. It will reveal itself. It will open itself up. Excuse me. The more familiar, and to me this is the best reason for reading the scriptures every day, whether it's the daily readings you do or whatever. It's the best reason because it keeps the scriptures in your mind. We do not have memories that are photographic. Very few of us. We have to keep the scriptures in our mind and not just reading them, but now meditating on them and thinking about them throughout the day. It's when we do that that will read something and there will be a click and a connection that will respond to what it was that we were asking wisdom for. Okay? In the meekness of wisdom, you live life in the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And remember now, there is no boasting before the presence of the Lord. So it's not yours. Okay? Are we for time? We're almost there. Okay. What I want you to do is you're going to just read these on your own, but I'm going to give you Revelation chapter 7, verses 10 through 12. There are seven things there that are blessings of the Spirit, if you will. There's Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. That which the Lamb receives. Revelation chapter 10, verse 1. Revelation chapter 4, verse 3. And then Revelation 11, verses 15 through 19. And the purpose for us to ask wisdom is to prepare ourselves to be the bride. To prepare me. Okay? To prepare me. Not to fix somebody else, but to prepare me. If I focus on that, the others will come naturally, because part of preparing me and having the Spirit of Christ in me will exude out in ways that will be helpful and beneficial to others in the household. Okay, so I want to conclude with the singing of a hymn. It's out of the praise book. It's 96.